Scripture. Be praying for Mike Nuntell and his family. His brother passed this last week, and so continue to pray for Mike. And I think Mike said they're having a celebration of life service sometime. And so you can hopefully he'll put that kind of information on the interweb, so you can figure that out and go from there. The other just personal thing, I want you to, my very private daughter, Whitney, announced to the world this last week on social media that she is pregnant. So I want to, thank you. And I want you to pray for her and Brad. And they're very happy, but a little bit tentative, as you can understand. As those of you that have lost babies in the past, do you understand that this is a tough time? And so keep them in your prayers. And for all the people traveling, too, I want you to keep praying for them. There's, I know Jim and Sue Ellen are on a band tour in Brazil, I think. And they're there for 2 weeks. And I think Wade and Mitzi are on a graduation tour. They're going to a couple different graduations up east. So keep them in your prayers, too. And then let's just get right into our lesson today here, okay? Let's pray. Father, it's good to meet together with your people here in this room and online. I thank you for everybody that is listening. Thank you for everybody that is watching. And I pray today that you would help us to keep our head and our hearts in tune with you and your Spirit. And as we look at the fruits of your Spirit, to see, to check who we are as you made us to be, God. You made us to be a certain way. And I just ask that you would let us really tune in today to this one of the fruits. And so we give you the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in this series called Being Who God Made You, and we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And so we start out with one of the scripture that says this. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We're just about through. Today we're on gentleness, and it says there is no law against these things. There's no law against these things. So this week we're talking about gentleness. And gentleness is not one of those, what I would call the sexy nature things that you really want to talk about in church all the time, because everybody goes, oh, that's kind of weak and kind of wimpy, and who wants to be gentle? It's not very appetizing. When we hear the word gentleness, it tends us to think of people who are passive. It tends us to think about people who get run over and get walked on. If you're applying for a job, it's not one of the techniques that you put down about, or the things that you put down about yourself. You don't say, I'm gentle, because most employers would go, he's going to get run over, she's going to get run over. It's not a characteristic that would describe you. Chances are, we don't want to put gentle on most of our resumes. No employer looks around and says, I'm really looking for some gentle person to ramrod all my people. That rarely happens. No athlete ever gets an award for being the most gentle athlete out there on the court, or the football, or whatever basketball that there is. And so when we hear the word gentle, it's, for the most part, I'm convinced pretty much that most of us in this room would say, okay, it's nice to be gentle, but I'm not going to really hone in on that fruit. But I think the word gentleness has so much more for us. When we tend to think of gentleness, we think that the term weakness comes right after that. And I think there's some confusion in the church around what the accurate biblical definition of gentleness is. And so I think she's put up on there on the screen, there's three different things that I am trying to get across to you today. Gentleness, perutes, is the Greek word, and it could also be translated as meekness, as being meek. Not having that ability to not have strength, but not ramrod it over somebody else's life. The word picture for perutes is a powerful, strong horse that is under the control of the rider. Growing up, my brother had at Camp Brookville, most of you have been to, a lot of you have been to Camp Brookville, not most of you, but a lot of you have been to Camp Brookville. There was a long lane that goes back to Camp Brookville, and my brother had horses back in the back, and Brenda and I lived in a trailer in the front. And those stupid horses would get out all the time. And I hated horses. I didn't like them. My brother loved them. He, for some reason to this day, he still loves them. It's a thing. My brother loves them. I couldn't stand them. Our horses were constantly getting out. And they would go down that lane. And this one day, I'll never forget, I'm sitting there and I'm in my shorts and I got nothing else. And I run out there. I'm like, he's going to get run over on the road and we're going to see a dead horse in the middle of the road on State Road 1. It's going to be a bad thing. So I run out there and I grab onto his neck and I try to, I'm a pretty big guy and I'm pretty strong and I'm thinking, I'm going to take him down. Well, he just is dragging me down the lane. I'm all the way out to the end. And finally, Brenda comes running, and she's got the reins, and we put the reins on, getting back to the thing. And I think that's the way a lot of us are with gentleness. We want to be gentle, but we're kind of out of control. And so reins rein us in. They bring us to the point where we can be moved in places that we want to go. We can go where we're supposed to go, and that's who has the reins is important. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. If we want to understand this word, perutes, in Galatians 5, we've got to understand that there's also another list, and we're going to look at it. It's in Galatians 19. So you can pull up those next 17, 18, 19, and just go there, Mindy. If you're going to grow a garden, and that's what we're talking about with fruits here, fruits and vegetables, you're going to grow a garden. Generally speaking, there's a thing called weeds that get in the way of a garden. And so a lot of you are starting to plant gardens. You understand about weeds. You're planting flowers. You understand about those things. There's weeds, and you need to pull those weeds. If you don't pull the weeds, they damage the flower. They damage the fruit. They damage whatever it is you're trying to grow and get out of the ground. And so there's important things that you do to get those weeds away from those things. If you look at verse 17, it says this, "For the sinful nature..." Maybe. Did we not do 17? There it is. I know that I did it. I made a mistake. It's not, this isn't you. Okay. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit." Okay. I want you to think about that. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit." Always. Always the flesh doesn't want what the spirit wants. The flesh wants what the flesh wants. Always. Okay. "And the spirit, what is contrary to the flesh." In other words, the spirit always knows what is best for the flesh, but the flesh doesn't like to be reined in. Okay? Follow that along. "They are in conflict." There it is. "They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want." Do you see how we live somewhere? I just want that. That's what I need. I need love. I need acceptance. I need this donut. I need this. Whatever. I need this. We don't get whatever we want. We don't get whatever we want. But you are led. There it is again. You are led by the Spirit, the reins. You are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. You're not under the law. You are not under the law. You are under the Spirit. That's why Jesus came. So if you look at verse 17, it says, "The sinful desires is contrary to the Spirit." Okay? They go against each other. And you wonder why it's difficult to be a Christian today. You wonder why it's difficult to have these fruits displayed in your life in most days. Why are you struggling? Why haven't you grown? Why do you have these same things that come at you day after day after day? And I would submit to you today that it's because of weeds. There's weeds in your life. There's weeds that need to be pulled. There's some weeds that you may not be aware of. And I think one of them is this idea of being gentle. Of being gentle and what gentleness does and the outcome of being gentle. So if you go back to 19 now, Mindy, go back to 19, he gives this really weird shopping list of bad things. Now follow us along. "The acts of the flesh," us, not the spirit, "the acts of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, in other words, doing whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. I feel like having sex, I'm going to go have sex. I feel I'm this way, I'm going to go do it. Jealousy, idolatry, in other words, putting things before God, witchcraft, going to things outside of God to get what you want, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. What a shopping list. What a list. He begins and ends with things that you would assume would be on there. Those are the things that you would say would be on the most Christians' list. Don't go in an orgy, okay? No orgies. Got it. Idolatry, witchcraft? Maybe. You know, he, in the middle of all these weeds, he tends us to overlook, there's these pesky weed in our garden. And right in the middle, fits of rage, outburst of anger. Let me say that again to some of you hotheads here today. Some of you people that cuss like a sailor. You put a sailor to shame. And you're sitting here today and go, I'm okay. I can be Jesus and I can have the F word come out of my mouth just because I'm mad. Because you made me mad. Okay. Right in the middle is these little bitty weeds. Fits of rage. Outburst of anger. It's the opposite of perute. It's the opposite of gentleness. Fits of rage, no rain, life with no rains, it's frustration, it's aggravation, it's out of control. You make me so mad. So I'm going to give it to you right now. And here it comes, complete stupidity right out of your mouth. Defining who you are that a person. You are that person that is acting like that. You are that person that is out of sorts. And suddenly your voice is raised and you're calling names and you're yelling and you're threatening to do certain things. You don't come here, I'm going to do this to you. These horrible things. The total opposite of perutes. Or a person who gets defensive the first time you challenge him. Takes things very personal. And so then the picture of this horse that I talked about, I want us to find gentleness in this way out of Galatians 5. It's turning the reins of your anger, of your aggravation, over to the Holy Spirit. Anybody need a little help with that here today? Anybody got a husband that's like that? Anybody got a wife like that? Don't point to them right now. I see some of you pointing. Don't point. Stop it, Michelle. Don't point to the people in your close to you. And so this picture of a horse that needs these reins. And so the question I ask you then, Mindy, you can put that up there, is this. It's who has your reins? Who has your reins every day? Who's in charge of your reins? If it's you, you're getting drugged down the lane. You're getting drugged down the lane, trying to do something, trying to be like Jesus, holding on to the neck of that horse. Think of that stupid picture that I gave you of me, and that's you. That's you trying to be like Jesus, holding on to that horse's neck. What determines your response in that moment when anger comes at you, when stupidity stares you in the face? I would say some of you, you know what that is? It's your toddler. I know who's controlling you. I know who has your reins. It's your teenager. Your teenager who has complete control. They got your reins, and they're holding on to them. Maybe it's your boss. It's your boss. See, they're not supposed to have the reins. It's not their. That's not their job. Well, they make me so mad. It doesn't matter. Who has control of your reins? Not those people. You let them have control of that. You let your daughter toddler make you so mad. You let your teenager make you so mad. You let your boss consume you to the point where you have to let cuss words fly out of your mouth, 1,000 words a minute. And then think and say that you're some kind of Christian and say that you're some kind of influence on the people around you when you are a horrible, horrible example. And I'm gonna get rid of the example here in just a minute, and I'm going to hit you really deep. So if you're out there and you're that person I'm talking to that's a cusser, you're that person that's angry, listen up a few more minutes. Do not check out. God wants to speak to you today. What determines your response in the moment when you're angry, when you want to unleash hell on that person in front of you? What determines that? And so this idea of gentleness is that we're going to give the Holy Spirit the reins of our aggravation. We're going to give the Holy Spirit the reins of our anger. The Holy Spirit gets to be in charge of you like he was supposed to be to start with. So the fruit of the Spirit is evident in you, and you're not that stupid person spouting expletives all over the place. How do we do that? The Bible says you keep in step with the Spirit. And so you have this horse that's heading in this direction, and you take those reins and you give the Holy Spirit the reins every day, every time it comes. Holy Spirit, I'm getting ready to get angry. You take the reins. You take the reins and you guide this horse of anger. You guide these things that are getting ready to pop out of my mouth just unexplainably. Here they come. Boom, pop, 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 pop. You anticipate difficult conversations. You know when your teenager gets home late, you're probably going to go off on them. You know when somebody, when your spouse does something, you know you're probably going to go off on them. Anticipate it and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to walk into that room with me, and I'm giving you the reins so I don't have to do these things. Here's what happens when you turn over the reins. One is, I think I put this on there, what happens is your gentleness will grow over time. Your gentleness will grow. It doesn't automatically, some of you don't try to go cold turkey in this because it's probably not going to work, but what you can do is it's going to grow. You will become more gentle as you continue to, this time I'm going to hand over the reins. The next time I might forget, but this time I'm giving you the reins, Holy Spirit. Here they are. These are the reins. You take them. You take the reins. So it's an idea that as the fruit of the Spirit grows and we allow this fruit to come out in our lives, what we do is we allow the Holy Spirit to have the reins. What I've discovered this week in studying about gentleness is we tend to think of ourselves kind of like our temperament. A lot of you you'd say, if I was to ask you or your spouse, do you have a temperament? A lot of you'd say, boy, they do. They are hot. They're really, really hot. And you know, here's the next thing that comes out of most of your mouths. You want me to read your mind? I can't help it. It's the way I'm wired. It's the family I came from. We're all that way. Everybody in my family's that way. I don't know why. We're just all a bunch of hotheads. We just say what's on our mind. All right? It's my number, that Enneagram number. I don't know. It's just like nature. And Paul says, you're right, bucko. It is your nature. But you know what? It's your sinful nature. Listen to me. It's your sinful nature. It is not just the way you are. It is your sinful nature. You are not right with God when you do that. Are you feeling scolded? In other words, you can't just say, well, that's the way I am. I'm just wired that way. So it changes over time. And then the second thing, it changes how we talk. It changes the things that come out of our mind. It changes things that the more we hand over the reins, the more it changes the way we say things. Then we don't always heap coals of fire, horrible things on people. We begin to give encouragement. We begin to understand, why are they like that? Why are they being Why are they being the bad things there? Why are they being like that? Oh, okay. And then we begin to become encouragement to the people around us that are in our lives. It's what comes out of your mouth is important. I don't know if you know that or not, but your kids hear it. Your grandkids hear it. Your friends hear it. They hear the tension that comes out of your mouth. They hear the words that come out of your mouth. And they hurt people. And they remember it. And they grow up maybe doing the same thing. But hear what Paul says. He says, put to death your sinful nature. Listen, it was put on the cross. Jesus put it on the cross. Put to death your sinful nature. You do not have to be that way. Do not have to be the way you are. One of the things that's interesting as you study the Holy Spirit in Scripture, there's this direct connection to the Holy Spirit. And I didn't put this up there, but Acts 4:31 says this. They were filled with the Spirit. This is funny, we're talking about Pentecost because this is a lot of the Pentecost day. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. So people can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. God spoke through those people with his Holy Spirit. He can speak through you. Why can he not control your tongue? Why can he not control the things that come up out of you? Tell me why. So he should change the way that you sound when you sit down with an employee or you sit down as an employee and you're getting bawled out and you just want to immediately start to blame somebody else. He should change the kind of conversations that you're having when somebody's not around and you start to say bad things about somebody that did something to you and you get angrier and angrier and angrier. He should control your mouth in a way that it begins to sound different. He should change the way you sound on the basketball court. He should change the way that you sound in the truck. He should change the way you sound in your car. When somebody slams on the brakes in front of you, he should change the way that we begin to view these situations in our life. Ephesians 4:30, and actually it's 29 through 32, says this. This is a really long passage, but I want to say it and show it to you. Do not let, and people, we disregard this so much in the church today. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Let's go stop there for a second. But only for what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, here's where it gets really hinky. Here's where it gets hinky. Because a lot of people teach this differently, and I'm going to teach it one way, and if you disagree with this, I understand. But I'm gonna say it. It uses the word, and I went to it, and it's important to understand this. Listen, do not grieve. We say, oh, how do you grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, you just don't believe in him. No. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. I'm angry at this person. I'm mad at this person. Get rid of rage and anger and brawling and slander along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. If you ever, ever want to understand how important this is, get ready for it, because we're coming into election season and we're going to be calling each other all kinds of things because everybody's got a different opinion about what's coming up and how to be gentle here. Be sure this is on your refrigerator. Be sure this is in you. I understand we have very strong feelings about the things that are going on. I understand. But I say one more time, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. But I have a right to be angry. Do you? Don't make the Holy Spirit sad by how you live. That's the gist. If you look at it in this context, it's this. It's saying this. It's how you speak. It's how you talk. Verse 29, don't use foul language or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Does your spouse feel that? Do your kids feel that? Or are you just a dumb kid, a dumb idiot? Some of you grew up with that, and you're here today. You're products of that because somebody told you were stupid. Somebody told you were dumb, and you believed it. And you're still believing it, and you're having a hard time. And some of you are passing it on to the people in your life. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words be an encouragement to those who hear them. There's the filter. There it is. Let everything you say bring, it brings a courage when you understand that you're bringing encouragement and not anger and not a disruptive force into the room. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Do not bring grief. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness and rage. Do not reflect the Holy Spirit's seal on your life. He sealed you when you came to Him. He made you God's own. You don't sound like Jesus when you talk that way. Let me get real with you just for 2 seconds, and we're just about done. When you use the tone that some of you use, you don't sound like Jesus. When you're full of bitterness and rage, you don't sound like Jesus. When you're talking badly about people, there's slander in your life. When you are not at peace with somebody, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. That hurts. That hurts. Verse 32 says this, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad by how you talk. Give Him the reins. It makes sense to me that we could grieve God, that we could grieve the Holy Spirit by the way that we treat one another. We have got to grab onto this. We can disagree without being angry. We can have completely different viewpoints without being hateful and rage enthralled. We can do it. Because we give the Holy Spirit the reins, we maybe try to understand, and maybe there's no understanding the other person. Maybe they're flat wrong, but we still do not give them our rage and our hate and our horrible things that come in our life. Have you ever thought about the words that come out of your mouth, how important they are? We say from a very young time, you know, sticks and stones don't hurt me, but words never hurt. They do. They hurt so bad. And we always think about what they hurt the people around us. But I'm talking to a bunch of people in here who say they love Jesus. Jesus would say to you today, some of you are grieving me. I am sad for the way you talk. I'm sad for the words that come out of your mouth. Let alone the things that are in your mind that don't come out. And then we didn't even get there. You're sitting there talking to somebody, and immediately in your mind, you're totally, you know, doing the deed in your head, calling them everything but a whatever. I know some of you, this is a tough message, and I know some of you struggle with this, and I know some of you don't struggle at all. You're like, that's just the way I am, Jeff. Live with it. This is who I am. This is how I was raised, and I'm okay, and I love Jesus, and we can coexist, and me and Him can do it. And I'm telling you, there's verse after scripture in the Word of God that says you can't have one foot in the world and one foot in heaven like that. You cannot straddle the fence constantly and expect to not have a lot of weeds in your garden and go, where is God? Why am I still grieving? Where is God and I'm still angry? Where is God and I'm this way? It's because you've got weeds in your garden and they're choking out the other fruits, and you're not being patient, and you're not being loving, and you're not being kind. Because you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have the reins. So the Holy Spirit comes to you today and he says to you, one phrase, give me the reins. Give me the reins. And I'll take you back to the barn. I'll take you back to the barn. So many of you just got that picture of me on that horse. And we're sitting there just trying to get him down with all of our power and all of my, okay, I'm going to quit cussing. I'm going to put a nickel jar. I'm going to put a dollar jar. I'm going to do this. And I do two or three days, and I do pretty good, and then it's all back to. And I'm not going to be angry with my kids, and I'm not going to be this. And I'm not. None of that does any good about trying. What does is you and the Holy Spirit having a come to Jesus meeting and saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you the reins. It's going to take some time, but I'm going to give you the reins. I'm going to give you the reins. I know you're getting tired of hearing me say that, but I want you to take that home today. Let's pray as the band comes. God, I thank you that you're gentle with us. That's by your grace. It's not because we deserve it. We deserve to be turned over your knee and spanked. We deserve just a thrashing. Because some of us, God, we're not doing what you ask us to do. We're grieving you. We're making you so sad. And God, it's important to understand that, yes, it's important that people understand and see what's coming out of our mouths is holy and is right. But most important, it's what makes you. It's what makes you happy. It what makes you proud of us, more proud than you ever could be. And we know it's not based on our performance. But we know, God, that we don't want to make you sad. We don't want to grieve you any longer. And so I pray, God, if there's people here today that need to tell you they're sorry, that right there in their seats they can do that. And if they need to come down and lay their burdens down here at the altar, then do that. God, if they need to speak to somebody, let them come do that too. Holy Spirit, we give you permission today to do what you can do, because we want to give you the reins in all these things, in love and peace and patience, kindness. We want to quit trying to drag the horse. We love you. We praise your name. Amen.
Child of God.
Strength under control. Yes, I can rip you a new one. I can just tear you apart, but I don't have to. I don't have to because I'm giving Jesus this. I'm giving him the reins, and I'm going to give you grace, and I'm going to give you everything that you don't deserve. You may deserve an undressing. You may deserve a bunch of bad words. No, none of us do. You may deserve to be yelled at, but you don't. You're not going to get it from me today. Because I'm going to give you grace. That's perutes. That's what we're talking about, gentleness. So glad you were here today. If you're here visiting, be sure and fill out one of those blue connection cards. If you've got a prayer, a concern, or that, please let us know that. I want you to pray for Tom Bonta. I'm just very been praying a lot about Tom. Tom is in the waiting game for his prosthetic, and he keeps getting pushed back, and it's just very I'd say depressing. To continue to wait, and Kate, I think he's trying to be faithful, and God is with him, and he's trying hard. But just keep praying for Tom Bonta, and I think he would really appreciate your love and your prayers this day. Here's Abby. I love you. Be gentle this week. Give the Holy Spirit his.
Good morning, Impact Christian Church. My name is Abby Lucas, and I just have a few announcements about what's going on here at ICC. Just a reminder, there is no more youth group until the fall. This Tuesday, we are going to be needing some volunteers to help unload a few trucks that are going to the hub.
Good to see you.
So if you please could come to the hub this Tuesday. Next Sunday, Dawn and Jenny Weinstein will be leading us in worship. Camp signups and the camp shower are happening until June 1st. We are looking for some life group leaders for this fall, so if you are interested in becoming a life group leader, please go see Pastor Jeff.